I'll never forget the first moment when I walked into a cinema. I was hooked from there on.
In this special episode of Skin On Talks, we caught up with Simon Delaney to talk about his new film, The Conjuring 2.
I was talking to Donald, to Clark, beforehand, and he was saying that you would message him to say, am I still in the film?
Well, it's that joyful thing of being an actor, you know, that you don't know, you see it whether you're in the feckin' thing or not. Because we've all had those experiences where, you know, you spend 6 weeks shooting something, you go to see it and you go, hang on a minute, was I not in that scene? Oh, right, they cut that, and then you go to the next scene. No, I'm in that, and your family are sitting there going, what were you doing for the 6 weeks? So, you know, I haven't seen it, but Donald assured me that I'm there. I have my own car chase, apparently.
Yeah, you do. The drive, that sort of Hollywood standard drive from somewhere to someplace else to save the day. So,
And then I do some marvellous work with an axe.
You do. It's very much, Jack Nicholson.
It is a bit, isn't it? Yeah.
That looks like a very strong door.
Yeah, we went through four doors that day. We took 2 days to film that sequence. Because that was a long sequence, that whole culmination at the end, and that, you know, where we arrive back at the house and go around the back and down and basement doors and axes, and of course it was a rain set, in LA, which made it extremely unpleasant, but phenomenal working on a set like that. The attention to detail, the production. I've noticed that even the reviews coming from the States, that the production design is getting a lot of nods, you know, because they nailed it.
Yeah, no, it's very much Britain in the 70s.
Yeah.
You can tell.
It's glum.
Yeah. And you would have remembered it. You would have grown up here in the 70s.
Exactly, so. When there were farming out costumes for us to try on at various costume fittings, I was going, Jesus. I remember that, with flares and corduroy flares and wool jackets. Everything was wool.
Partridge.
How we didn't sell combust walking down streets, it was unbelievable. But they really nailed that whole 70s vibe. And of course, it pissed rain for 9 weeks, which is what it did back then.
Was all of it there? How much of it was in?
We shot nine weeks in LA on the lot in Warrnambool, and then 3 weeks in London, 2 or 3 weeks in London on location in Enfield, and that was interesting. And I was saying to somebody earlier on as well, of course, because of the type of movie it is, and because of the subject matter, the people are still alive. So we met the Hodgsons.
Yeah,
they came to LA. And that must have been utterly bizarre for them, because not only were they going back to their house, because it was all documented back in 78, they were walking back into their bedrooms from when they were 8 and 9. And like, that must be traumatic enough as it is, but to walk back into that room where these things happened, and clearly they're still visibly scarred from what they went through, because it's horrific.
Well, yeah, if it's anyway half as bad as what happened in the film, then
well, it was worse, you know, according to them. You know, I haven't spoken to them, and you know, again, being able to, like, when you're looking at a character and researching them, I was able to watch interviews with him, and he, you know, normal blue collar construction worker, who says, you know, I saw what I saw. I don't care if you believe me or not, but I saw it. And when you add that into the police seeing it, camera crew saying it, is there something there?
Well, don't we all want to believe, especially, you know, growing up Catholic in Ireland, you want to believe in an afterlife, do you not?
See, that's the thing, is when people say, well, you know, you're a skeptic, so I don't want to believe that this stuff happens.
No.
It's the fear. I think that's why this genre of movie works now, because the blood and guts horrors have gone by the wayside. It's the what's under the bed.
Yeah, it's the psychological horrors will always be the ones that are most effective.
And did you see the first one?
Yes.
What do you think of the first one?
I really enjoyed the first one. I wasn't a huge fan of the framing devices that is used, but I liked the structure of it. I liked, other than that, I liked the central conceit of the... I mean, it's based on a true story.
Yeah.
I liked the two paranormal investigators and then all of this happening.
It's frightening. Having shot it, it was the funniest film set I've ever done in my life.
There is some great humour in it. I mean, you had some of it, but Patrick Wilson has a lot of it.
He's a great character.
Yeah.
And he's one of those American actors, you know, that breed of US actors where they're just dripping with talent. He's a triple threat, you know, he's a Broadway star, he's a singer, dancer, funny guy, and a nice guy on top of it as well. Swine. Talented swine.
You've released singles.
Well, yes, let's, speaking of horrors, yeah, I did release a Christmas single, yeah, which died a thousand deaths. Yeah. In fact, when I got cast in the movie, all my friends said to me, how do you die? How do you die in this? You know, because they just presumed you're going to die.
Yeah.
I said, well, you'll have to wait and see. It was bizarre, bizarre. But an amazing experience shooting it over there as well, on the lot at Warner Brothers, on a very haunted stage, apparently, which I was only told after I left.
Of course you were, yeah. Then.
Yeah, and strange things happened, you know, bizarre things happened on the set. And the set was blessed by a Catholic priest on the first day of principal photography. He blessed every room, anointed them with holy water, the cast were blessed, the crew were blessed. I thought, this is very different now from shooting a comedy in Ireland.
Yeah.
I'm taking this very seriously. But I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad to see it.
No, it is. The children are very good. You know, they say never to work with kids.
Yeah, she's amazing, Madison, isn't she?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because watching what she was doing, like, you know, I've been watching what she was doing on set and thinking, I could not do that as an adult, as an actor, you know. I don't know what age she is. Is she 14? So
yeah, in the early
something
teens,
ridiculous
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
She's incredible in the film. But what was asked of her in the film, and then seeing her and the real Janet together was disconcerting.
Spooky.
Very, very spooky. And watching Janet, watching Madison,
yeah,
manifesting what she went through as a child. Bizarre stuff. Bizarre. I'm looking at the picture of her hanging out the window. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a spoiler.
It is. Yeah. And it ain't a poster for a rom-com, is it?
No. That nun is creepy as all hell. I mean, that thing's going to haunt me.
Well, that's the thing. Somebody said to me earlier on, they, having watched the screening of it last night,
yeah,
in Cineworld, I think,
yeah,
they walked out on the Parnell Street and bumped into a nun. And fucking ran down Parnell Street at an old nun. He said she had the droopy face, everything. Can you imagine that?
That wouldn't, yeah, no, I wouldn't be well after that. I'd be heading from there straight to the nearest bar.
Jesus Christ almighty. I believe even the credits are interesting because they play the real tapes.
Yeah, and they show you and your old character, your real life counterpart.
Oh,
and,
really?
The pictures of the...
Oh,
of
really?
The, yeah, so you
oh,
can see
wow.
how close some of them are, you know. Too.
Wow. It's incredible because when you get cast in something like this, because I didn't know what it was when I got cast. You know, because you just get sent sites, and you tape for that, you get cast. I said, okay, well, The Conjuring 2, so clearly there was a Conjuring 1. So what was that? And you look it up and go, Jesus, okay, it's a horror. It's a new one on me. And then you start doing research into it. And you think, oh, I'm playing a real person. And the fantastic thing was, as I said earlier, we were able to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I click on Vic Nottingham and I go, right, now I see why I was cast. Because, right. Of course, that helps. Did you look like the guy? But I do remember talking to Janet, the real Janet, about Vic and Peggy, myself and Maria's characters, and, you know, about what they did for them. And, you know, they were a huge help to them, and she got very upset talking about them. Like, as I said, they were clearly still visibly scarred by what happened.
Right,
and that's what, 35 years ago?
Yeah. Was it?
40 years ago.
40
yeah.
years ago, yeah. Almost. Yeah.
Bizarre. But playing somebody who really existed, playing a real person, that was interesting, you know, because you tried to be loyal to them. Because you can't interpret the character the way you want it.
No, because there are certain mannerisms or whatever that
of course there are, yeah.
Yeah.
And also because it's based on true events, you have to follow the story.
Yeah.
You know.
So, yeah, there's not a lot of ad-libbing in that.
No, there's not. There was a little bit. There was a little bit, as I'm sure you can imagine. Particularly with Patrick Wilson.
Yeah. Was the Elvis bit scripted, or did he just decide to do that for the crack?
It was scripted, yeah. It was scripted. It's great, isn't it?
Yes, it is really good.
He's great, yeah. He's a funny bastard. He spoke yesterday in an interview about having a bit of crack on set with myself. And he said it basically consisted of, we spent the 9 weeks trying to come up with names for my new son, who was born last week.
Yeah.
And his favourite was, he wanted me to call the child Shifty. Or Ichabod.
Ichabod, brilliant.
He emailed me last week on the day the child was born. Or the day the child was due, he said, "Hi Simon, has young Shifty Ichabod Hussein Delaney joined us yet?" I said, "He has, and thankfully he hasn't been given any of those fucking names." So we did have a good bit of crack. He's a lovely guy. And Vera, I mean, watch Vera work.
Yeah.
Just superb. That again, that whole sequence at the back garden, and the way James shot it, you know, it's just
There's a constantly moving camera.
Constantly moving. You're exactly right.
It gives a great kineticism to it because
doesn't
you
it?
Have that.
Absolutely.
Kinetic.
And I've even seen some stuff now, the sort of B-roll stuff, and they talk about why the house was designed the way it was. Because it's loyal to the house. But James insisted that the hallway was a little bit wider and a little bit longer, so you get that long
dragon
shot, because the real house would have been smaller. I mean, he was across everything. Costume, design, lighting. And Don Burgess, who shot the movie, just what a cinematographer. Like, you're watching some of the stuff they did, camera positions on tracks, aerial shots, you're thinking, Christ, how do you think of that stuff? You know, that's his thing.
When you have to film a little girl on a ceiling, how do you
think? You know? The way it's mind-boggling stuff. I'm really dying to say it now.
It's completely different from, you know, from something here. We wouldn't have any. We don't have the Warner Bros. Backlot. I mean, as good and
no.
all as some of the facilities are, we don't have.
Yeah, but
that.
It's strange. What I found strange was the fact that there aren't a lot of studio movies being made anymore on the lots.
No, except
yeah.
in England.
Yeah.
Pinewood seems.
But you think of Warner Brothers, like there's 52 sound stages. 52. We have 4 in Ardmore, and that's just Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Then you have Universal, and you have that, you know. And what, just filming around there, walking around there, you know, Evan is made next door, Conan O'Brien's over there, and all this. Just seeing, and then even on the stage where we shot the movie, it was the same stage where they shot Rebel Without a Cause. And you find yourself thinking of things like that when you're there, you go, Jesus Christ.
I start channeling James Dean.
But this is, Ghostbusters were made, like, thinking, Christ almighty. If those walls could talk, you know, and of course it was a haunted set.
Ah, yeah. Well, Ghostbusters and The Conjuring couldn't
turn
me in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
But some, as I said, some strange things happen on the set. You know, various cast and crew members would all wake at the same time every night.
Okay.
Vera's computer screen cracked on set one day. So,
yeah, that's quite odd.
That's quite odd. But then coming in the following day and saying, sleep last night, woke about 5 to 3. Another guy saying, I woke at 5 to 3. Another guy saying, so I woke at 5 to 3 as well. What the fuck is that all about? I slept like a baby.
He's like, nah, they're not coming anywhere near me. I got my scapula. Like, Sister Mary gave me back.
I have my father's Leo in my suitcase, I'll be fine.
Yeah, I said a decade of the rosary before, I couldn't sleep. I'm sort of. Because it's all innate holiness of Irish people, so we don't
exactly.
Have to.
We are protected.
That is
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if only that were true.
So, as it's like to say in the Queen's, oh, well, Jesus was Irish.
I love that. The picture of fucking Elvis above the Pope. Jesus was Irish, yeah. I'm dying to see what audiences think of it and what fans of the first one think of it.
Yeah.
Because again, a lot of the reviews come up from the fans of the first one from the States are very positive.
Yeah.
So I think he's delivered.
Oh, he has. No, he has. It's definitely, it's a very well-made horror. It's very, it is exactly what you want when you go into to see that sort of thing.
Yeah, but no, I think it'll do as well as the first one did, you know, and then, I mean, they've clearly, as we said, building a franchise because the case files from Ed and Lorraine Warren are huge.
Yeah.
And even meeting her, she was on set. She was incredible to meet. And the stuff that she's seen in hundreds and hundreds of cases. And again, it's bizarre, it's that thing of watching Vera with her.
Yeah.
You know, watching Janet with Madison. Just very. It was incredible to be part of it, really was. It was a joy. Like, not just the whole thing of shooting it over there and working with those people, but I'm just thrilled now to see the end result of tonight.
And would
you see
me
lock stayed on.
Yes.
Yes, they did.
And would you go down the horror route again then? Would you be
well,
okay?
You know, as Donald will tell you, you know, in my business as an actor,
you'll take whatever job
you
get.
Well, you know, that's the beauty of it. You don't know, one day you could be dressed as a priest standing in Kilchamock, the next day you're on a set in LA dressed as a tomato. You know, it's just, you don't know. I have 4 kids and a mortgage, so I'm happy to do horror from here until the end.
Because we've got some good ones here. We've some good directors that make them here.
Well, we have some incredible horror directors here. It's a genre that I never, that I kind of, not avoided, but it never floated my boat.
Yeah.
Because I'm a wuss.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking wuss. Breaking Bad upsets me.
And people can think comedy with you more so than anything.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so. That's why this is great for me, because it's completely out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And even the character, I would normally try and inject a little bit of comedy into the character, and I don't know whether that's coming across or came across, whether it was written or not. I can't remember. It's that long since we shot it. But this is completely different for me. Yeah, and I hope people, you know, start thinking of the outside the box.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, because these nappies won't pay for themselves. Ah, brilliant.
All right. Well, I hope you do really, really well. I wish you the best of luck. And congrats on the
God, thank you very much.